Realtor Productions, to begin, is actually loosely brought together a bunch of folks. We've kind of termed at least a few things like nonprofit, volunteer, and film collective as sort of our anchors, but that's sort of where our initiative lies. It came out of a literature and social change class. It was a second year English class, and the second half of it was devoted to doing a community-facing project, of which six of us took on the project of a documentary film. We came pretty quickly to what the project focus was going to be, and it ended up being about immigration detention, looking most specifically at the proposed use of the Guelph Correctional Facility as a detention center, and then kind of spun off from there, not on purpose necessarily, just because we weren't terribly organized, to be perfectly honest, but we ended up talking to just anybody who would want to speak to us about it, which meant, you know, there were quite a lot of activists who had a lot to say, and then we spoke to Liz Sandals, which was a really great, it was a very valuable thing for us to have done. I think it really tested us in a lot of ways and sort of questioned us, but that's separate. Anyway, we'll talk about that later, but so that was the first semester, and then in the second semester we had to kind of revisit all the film footage that we had after we had put out our first draft, which was 45 minutes of hell. It was just talking heads, and we did all the editing on a Friday evening and a Saturday, and we showed it on Sunday at Old Quebec Street, so it was really quick and dirty, and we had two transitions, one at the beginning, one at the end. The one at the end was, so now what happened in Guelph? And then we went to Guelph, and that was it. And it was just like, it was pretty brutal. And then, so a couple of us spent time in the second semester. Luckily, we didn't have a lot of classes, so we spent about 300 or 400 hours there every Monday and Friday, I remember. And we finished the film as best we could with everybody involved, plus a lot of pre-screenings, which has been a really big part of our philosophy, or at least my own personal mandate has always been about trying to get as many people to watch it, as well as those who are in the film, to really be involved in the process so that they have as much, you know, agency in what we're representing, because that is such a ethical concern, like how do you go about doing that. So so then we put out the film, we put out 100 DVDs, and kind of put it out to people, and we got really amazing response. We sent it to well, our biggest claim would be to the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, and then immigration lawyers and refugee working groups all across Canada, which was really exciting. Profs who were looking at immigration in their own class, mostly at West, which was odd, UBC and Lethbridge, and up in Prince George, and then down in New Zealand we got some, in the UK, so it was really crazy, kind of went all over the place. So I think that kind of energy and sort of excitement around it kind of sort of solidified a small core group of us to keep going on this. Yeah.
What sort of response were you getting from people that were watching the video once it was complete?
Well, actually, it was a lot of it was really, really supportive, really excited. And that was sometimes a bit hard because you really just wanted some critical response. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, wow, this is so great. It's about Guelph and all these things. And but luckily we did have some really good critiques, which was really important for us. Obviously, as you know, you want to kind of get some nitty gritty details on what's going on. So we did get some of that and incorporated it back in as much as we could. I remember going back to the editing, you know, our makeshift editing suite, which was a bedroom, and we got to change this, and we got to change that, and it was tough, but it was really important, and it really actually took a lot of the stress out of finally showing it, because it really felt as though a lot of people who you would want to have known beforehand anyway had seen it and given you feedback, and you were able to incorporate that, and because a lot of it is actually meant to be more of a point of discussion or a point of engagement, and if that was all we did, we knew that the first time we'd asked a question to anyone, we had succeeded. So if that was all we had done, that was good. So mm-hmm. anything on top of that, we just looked at as a positive thing. So, yeah.
And I guess that was sort of leading into the question I had about like what you see as being the purpose of producing these videos.
I think it's a really good question, and I think that, again, I speak only for myself, because there were originally six of us involved, and now there are, in one capacity or another, six or seven people. But definitely, I think a lot of the main questions we had at the beginning were, how do we do a Michael Moore film? And, that was hard, because Bowling for Columbine had just come out, and we were just experiencing the emotions and the impact of what that film meant. And we were, and I think I initially thought so as well. I thought, this is what we wanted to do. I'd love to go, get into somebody's face and really kind of push the buttons, and without really thinking about what that might mean or what the implications of that were. And so we actually had a progress report for the class, and we used that time to look at two films and look at a procedure or a process to sort of try to solidify our own methodology. Mm-hmm. And of course, after doing that, you can sort of pick things out, and there's certainly things that you can't do that Michael Moore can do, that he's not necessarily being transparent about, that he's not necessarily showing you the background as to why he's doing what he's doing or how he can do it. That was where it was like, okay, this is unrealistic. We're not going to be able to do this. So how can we do it anyway? How can we do this anyway? And it sort of ended up being that looking at a local context allowed for us to get beyond it just being for entertainment value, or it was a point of reference for everyone watching, and that was the point. We knew that if we could, we always had this thought that we would, have a premiere, and we'll have it in the bookshelf, we'll have a band and the whole bit. And we're like, this is never going to happen. But then we did it, yeah. And then that was the point, was to have, this point of, pushing people a bit out of their comfort zones and then saying, okay, look, I'm your neighbor, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And that's something I critique about, the corporation or Super Size Me, is that you are seeing a global impact of a corporation, but you're not, and not that we're not dealing with it at a local level, but why not look at it at a local level and sort of try to engage in that level? And that seems to be a really powerful medium for that kind of experience. And because it's so community oriented, everybody that was involved spun on it on their own ways, and they would talk to their mom, and they would talk to somebody who had, been an immigrant, and it just kept feeding on itself. So the process alone was, and then in the end, to say it's a film, people know about films, they know the power of film, everybody's excited about films and watching films, and so it's just, it's pretty exciting, yeah.
So, I guess, what are some of the other, you mentioned the corporation, you mentioned Super Size This, are there other particular filmmakers or films that do really inspire you, or are continuing to kind of inform the way that you're moving ahead with this stuff?
I wish I could see more movies than I actually do. I do try to, I've been trying to sort of collect a bit of a library of films, but I tend to sort of reference Roger and Me a lot of times, because I think that his, in the beginning when he was really just talking about Flint, Michigan, that seems to me at least to speak to that sort of local issue and local sort of engagement. So a film like that, and just because I'm interested in food, there's a film called Deconstructing Supper, done by a high-end restaurateur in BC that I've worked with, and he has somebody come in. The beginning's really cheesy. I'm almost embarrassed to watch. It's like, oh, it's gross. Really elevator music, and somebody in the restaurant asks him, can you tell me anything about the history of this food? Is any of this GMO'd? And he's like, I don't know what GMO is, so I decided to find out. And then he goes through an hour's worth of finding out. And, granted, he goes to talk to, he tries to talk to Monsanto, but he goes to talk to Vandana Shiva in India, and he goes down into the States, and he goes to talk to Percy Schmeiser. And so, he definitely goes around and gets some perspective. And I was like, yeah, I like that approach. I think that's great. And then he goes back and he changes his restaurant to organic. Mm-hmm. And then he says he's going to set up an institute for chefs to learn about the food industry. And I'm just like, well, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what I mean. That's kind of the work that I'd be interested in. So there's two examples anyway.
Yeah. And now the work that you've been doing, or that I'm aware of that you've been doing since Security Consciousness, was around the piece that you presented as a delegation to City Council, which is interesting because it brings back a point that you mentioned earlier about your interview with Liz Sandals, which I was curious about because it seemed like such an important aspect of your experience in producing the other film. But I'm wondering about why you chose to present a video as opposed to speaking to council, and what you felt might have been different about the reaction because it was presented in that sort of format.
Well, I should say that I had never really planned to be a delegate. I've been to a couple of city council meetings, and I don't know if you've been, but it's a very intimidating space. I might like to talk, but I actually am very nervous in front of a large group of people. And so, personally, when I got asked by a friend who was also going to be a delegate to go speak, and her reasonings being, you know, totally valid. There was, you know, there've been people working on this for 7 years, and we need new life. We need new faces out there. We need people that council hasn't seen before to sort of just bring some life and some energy back into what seems like a dying process. And of course, having some fairly big ethical questions with Walmart personally, it was pretty easy for me to like, okay, well, what am I going to do? And I didn't think it came right away that I would think about even doing a film. And I mean, that whole week was just a mess, really, because as soon as I decided I was going to do it, I couldn't really consult with anyone because I basically knew it was just me that was going to do it. But yet I still had to figure out how it was going to be possible. Like, it wasn't just going to happen. And I was working all week. So I was like working during the day and then trying to make phone calls whenever I could, because like there's so much build up, I mean lead up to actually getting that kind of stuff together. And it was awesome that Heather was still in town, because she was the actually Monica was as well, but she wasn't able to help. But somebody from Real Alternative Productions was able to, yeah, okay, let's do this. This sounds great. And then as soon as I knew she was on board, her partner Christian was involved too. Then I knew that we were going to get something done anyway. So why choose film? Well, I think it was just this sort of the feeling of that first film, the feeling of presenting something and how it has a different effect. And it's funny because I am aware of the fact that it has there's something that distances you from it, and it is a screen and it is being projected, and there's no space to really have dialogue with that. I mean, you could afterwards, and I was waiting. I wanted council to interact, and you were there, and they didn't. They didn't have any questions for any against delegate at all. So I was just looking for somebody, and I put it up there. I was like, "You're for Walmart, and you know this is in your hands. This is you're bringing Walmart here. You don't have to. Like, you know the implications. Just." And definitely, we also put out pamphlets with all their phone numbers and things. We really wanted them to know that we're going to use this film and present it around the community in all of the wards and try to build some dissent, some opposition to this that I don't think they were hearing necessarily. So it was kind of a tactic, definitely. And obviously, we knew we were going to lose. Actually, I knew we were going to lose. I had talked to people who were, you know, within enough of the circle to tell me, you know, like, this part's lost. This is just the city grieving. This is the city dealing with this. And so, and since that, I mean, we've had some really amazing reactions from people working on this. And I think, I don't want to say necessarily that we have revitalized, but because it's always been there. And the RSD is a huge and very powerful conglomerate of folks that are, you know, very passionate and very devoted to the city and working for issues. But I think, you know, the reaction we've had has been positive and sort of shown that, you know, there is a youth that is willing to work on these issues alongside what is like a very devoted and long-term committed citizenship, you know, that's happening. So, yeah.
So, I mean, it was that meeting was completely, I don't know, it really impacted on me too, partly because of that, absolute lack of debate that happened. I think the only two people that council asked questions of were Ben Bennett and the Ignatius folks, who've just been part of the process for such a long time. But also the fact that after all the delegations had finished, even council didn't debate amongst itself. There was the three councillors that opposed it that said their piece, but there was absolutely no discussion. And I mean, how do you feel when you see that happen, that, you know, the level of dialogue within our sort of city council is to basically have decisions, and maybe this is a special case, but I'm not sure that it is, sort of pre-made, and that, you know, this place that is supposed to be the forum for local democracy is actually void of discussion.
Yeah. I don't know if you were there at the end, but we had the Walmart lawyer speak, and then, you know, it was decided, and then the meeting was over, and I hung out in the foyer, and actually, you know, I tried to have a couple conversations with the lawyers just because I thought, you know, I definitely did say, you know, it'd be really great if we could afford, you know, $500 an hour lawyers. You know, we just can't fight this. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, and, you know, but just sort of trying to get anything out of them. And at the same time, being friendly and realizing, like, obviously, we're all working on this issue. You're just on a different side of it. And but all of those counselors who voted for came out of that space, and they were like buds with the lawyers, and they just went and shook hands and, oh, good work, and we've done it, and finally we can leave it to rest. And they walked out, and then you see these three other counselors, the three against, and they're just followed by a group of citizens. So I think, to me, that sort of really symbolized that event for me. It just was like this, there was no challenge here. Like, this was decided long before. And it was definitely a bit sad, but I think at the same time, those three counselors and just that sheer voice of that many citizens was so positive, so optimistic, and so willing to work on an issue, so willing to stay till 10, 12:30 or whatever at night. And that kind of commitment I had never seen in a council meeting either. And so I definitely, not just because I wanted to look for a good side, it was just there, so apparent. And I felt, obviously, that there's something that maybe some counselors wouldn't even be able to say what it was, but something obviously was there. And I don't know if they were just completely convinced that Guelph is large enough that they can sort of, you know, shoulder the impact of this film, or this corporation. And I think that might be it. And they were just thinking about citizen dollars going into more and more negotiations or whatever. I don't know exactly, and I wish I could find out. And I mean, we may never find out, but I know what we can do is, instead of being down by it and negative about it, is keep putting, you know, keep letting them know that we're there and that we're committed to working on the issue and bringing people's awareness. Because I'm convinced that Walmart issue is purely about awareness. It's purely about what people really know about this corporation. Not many people do know. I think it's something that needs to get out more to the general public.
So will there be sort of a future life for the work that you put into the video that you showed at that council meeting? Will you be sort of transforming that material and sharing it throughout the city a little bit more? Or is there any plans along those lines?
Well, the film itself, and this is sort of another thing for Real Alternative, has always been about very low budget ways to get another story out, a different story. And definitely we got funding for our first film. We didn't have to get a lot. Like, we found it to be a fairly inexpensive process. I think in the end we spent about $750 total, and that was for travel, Ottawa and Toronto twice, all of the raw materials for the DVDs, and, you know, printing, and then sending things out, and that was it. So we're pretty excited about that, because that just makes us a lot more, easier to fund, because you get $200 here, $300 there, so that part was exciting. And for this most recent 4-minute film, it's going to be on the net, which it is right now. Well, I haven't built the link on the website yet, but we're hoping to tap into the web in that respect too, and use it, use that space up. Because I think security consciousness in its internet form, I think it was only about 23 megabytes of space. So you get one organizational, you know, website on campus here, and you can fill it up pretty well. I know Science for Peace has 4 or 5 films on there too. So hopefully we'll get out of even having to produce these things, but find ways of still presenting them. Just to mention, security consciousness also got presented at some high schools that I've gone to as well, with, you know, questionnaires, and engaged in that film and other respects that way as well. So,
what is the website that you guys are using now, and what are sort of the next steps for you guys?
Well, it is summer, so it's a little hard to get everybody, you know, excited about this. I've kind of committed to doing work on this, you know, a little bit every day, so that's different for me because I kind of can do things on my own. But right now, just working on getting this organizational website up. I mean, again, we're starting from scratch. I know nothing about websites. You know, it's kind of fun, and I kind of like the challenge of it all, but it is kind of frustrating because you're like, what does P in brackets with two dots mean again? I mean, what is this? I don't know. So definitely getting a functional website up that can talk about what we are, where we came from, where we're planning to go, and then using it to process information, help sort of getting some collectives and some links to things going, as well as putting our actual films on there and ways to contact us as well. So that's what's up for the website. As far as Real Term Productions, long term is a media art suite here on campus, student run, you know, totally accessible, and something along the lines of Concordia's Media Arts Center, which they right now, they have three suites, and they've got a pretty full, I mean, they also have a journalism school there, but that's a bit different. I've got, you know, people excited at all levels, and I think it's good because we have two films now. We can say, look, this is the impact, this is what we're doing, and they can say, you know, that is true, and students are knowing more about this, and we have to kind of get our act together and see what we can pull together. But so hopefully by next year I'm hoping to have some sort of suite on campus, and then there is another project on the go. I'm a little hesitant to talk about, but it is sort of talking about the ideas of corporate citizenship and engaged citizenship, and sort of defining these two without any sort of polemic, you know, breakings up of these two, but sort of trying to jive with what those might mean and sort of present them in a way that will hopefully have people a bit more conscious or aware of what might be informing them or what's happening. It's hard though, right? I mean, it's so hard to sort of like do that kind of work and like, you know, that you have an audience that, you know, in the back of your mind you're trying to access and you're trying to persuade otherwise. It's like trying to talk to my mom. Like, this is who I'm trying to talk to, my mom, you know, like, who won't listen to me and, you know, thinks I'm a kid and that I don't know what I'm talking about. And yet I still have something important to say, and I need you to hear me, and I need us to work on it because I'm not a kid. I live here, you know. So, yeah.
That's super. Well, thanks so much for coming today. I know you probably need to catch the bus soon. So. Yeah. But
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for having your show, and thanks for doing some work on us, because it's helpful for everyone involved that we can collaborate. So.